Grace, mercy, and peace is yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter, where Jesus says to the demoniac, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. A few weeks ago in my sermon, I mentioned that according to the 2001 edition of the World Christianity Encyclopedia, that there are over 30,000 different denominations worldwide. 30,000 different denominations. But the fact is, there are only two religions in the world. When you cut through all the fluff and the arguments and the worship styles and doctrinal disagreements, there are truly only two spiritual kingdoms. One is the kingdom of God, which is founded on Christ Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who is himself the cornerstone of the Christian faith. The kingdom of heaven is his and has no end. But the other kingdom is the kingdom of the devil. And the kingdom of the devil is built on a lie. The kingdom of the devil is ruled by a liar. He is the father of lies. And his kingdom is condemned already. And it is destined for eternal damnation. And because the devil knows his future, the greatest hope he can possibly have is to take as many people along with him as he can. Evil doesn't always reveal itself in our world in a frightening way, like the demoniac in our gospel text. Most times, evil comes into your lives in an appealing manner, in a delightful manner. Instead of the devil wrapping himself in the body of a naked madman, most often he wraps himself in the most beautiful and entrancing clothing of whatever it is that you crave and desire and makes you happy. 25 verses prior to our gospel text this morning, St. Luke records that Jesus was in Galilee. He went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And as our text opens this morning, Jesus has left the Jewish territory and sailed across the sea into Gentile country, the land of unbelievers. And Jesus has had no more than stepped off of the boat when he's confronted by a man possessed by a legion of demons, not just one, but possibly thousands of demons. And they have left him defenseless and vulnerable. It is the worst of occasions for the man. He is in a horrible condition, unable to save himself. And ever since the fall of sin, clothing has been a means to cover shame. God covered Adam and Eve in the garden so they could hide their shame. But this demoniac wants nothing to do with clothing. He's walking around naked, and he's trapped in his life of shame. He's still alive, but he's really the walking dead. He's living among the tombs. And he's a dangerous man who has been previously under guard, shackled, chained. But with this demonic, superhuman strength, he has been able to break free from his chains and flee into the desert. His life on earth is hell on earth. He's cut off from society. He avoids everyone, and everyone avoids him. And you know what that's like, because you and I have our own demons. No, maybe not demon possession, controlling your every move, but you have sins in your lives that can lead to an isolation from God and an isolation from friends and family. While your demons don't give you superhuman strength, you have sins that at times overcome you, causing you to lose control and giving in to all sorts of temptations of the world, self-abuse, abuse of others, and fits of rage and anger. And they all stem from rebellion against God, because you want to be God. And the devil is out there in his kingdom, more than happy to fertilize these desires, more than happy to nourish your rebellion. And like the demoniac in our text, you and I are helpless to change our situation. And the bad news is, when we're confronted by God's law, it only makes us lash out in more anger. The sinful man resents being told what God's law commands. The sinful nature turns its back on God and estranges itself from all people who might wish to help you from your vices. Our text this morning takes place prior to St. Peter's great confession that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. And to be honest, all throughout Jesus' earthly ministry for 3 years, the disciples wavered back and forth, really struggling to know who Jesus truly was. But that is not the case with the demoniac. You know, Jesus gets off the boat. Jesus has yet to say a word, and the demoniac makes his confession. He declares Jesus to be Son of the Most High God. He knew his name. He knew he was God in flesh. But he doesn't try to scare Jesus, doesn't try to chase him away or challenge him to a fight. Because as numerous as the demons were in that man, they still know that they are no match for the Son of the Most High God. They cannot move without Jesus' permission, because Jesus has dominion over them and the power to cast them into the pit of hell. If no other threat of God's law scares a person into repentance, this text should cause all of our hearts to crumble and fear. Because St. Luke writes, they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. The demons fear the abyss because they know the abyss of hell is their future. They know once they're cast into Hades, they're going to begin suffering eternal punishment. And they were afraid that this was the day. So they begged Jesus, don't cast us into the abyss. Thousands of demons imploring Jesus to give them just a little more time on the earth before casting them into hell's eternal lake of fire. So perhaps you've heard someone say, or maybe you have said, well, I don't care if I go to hell. That's where all my friends are going to be. We'll sit there and drink beer and play cards. Or, I'm not afraid of hell. It can't be a real place. Well, that has to be one of the most uninformed and short-sighted statements ever. Because even if the demons are afraid of their final destination, their ultimate end, you and I would certainly do well to take our faith much more seriously. The demons wanted to get away with Jesus, but they needed his permission. So Jesus gave them permission to enter a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside. And this is a beautiful foreshadowing of the demons' future, the day when they will be cast into a lake of fire. Because the demons come out of the man and enter into the pigs, and they rush down the hill into the lake and are drowned. They are choked to death by the water. And the news of this miracle spread quickly. People from the city and all the surrounding country came and found the demoniac sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. It is a true miracle, witnessed by the Gentiles. A man who was among the living dead is now very much alive. But the Gentiles didn't see it that way. They were afraid. They were so afraid that it wasn't just a few of them that were afraid, but a great number of people. People from the surrounding country asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. Their fear trumped Jesus' miraculous work of healing the demoniac. Their fear hid the gospel of Jesus. And the man who had been healed, he begged to go along with Jesus, continue to be taught by Jesus. But Jesus told him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. You see, our God is not a God to be afraid of, nor is his son Jesus, because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And in his loving mercy, he healed the man who was utterly powerless to heal himself. And seated at the feet of his Savior, the man is in his right mind, and he is clothed, and he is restored to new life through Jesus. And the good news for you is that act of raising this man to new life is a present-day, real-life experience that happens week after week in the Christian church. Today, Christ Jesus transforms lives just as he did in our text. He raises the spiritually dead into new life in Christ Jesus. Because apart from Jesus, you're helpless and unable to save yourselves. And it doesn't matter which demon you struggle with. Jesus came to heal all of your infirmities, break the chains of all your demons, everything that you struggle with. He came to heal your infirmities and save you from your sinfulness. You and I are blind to our own sin. So God gave us the law to be our guardian, to show us our sin, to show us our helplessness in need of a Savior. Paul writes, "Before faith we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed." Bound in the shackles of the law, but faith has come through Christ Jesus. Paul continues, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." In his rich love and mercy, Christ Jesus came to set you free. He kept the law perfectly in your stead, and he paid the wages of God's wrath against your sin and his innocent suffering and death. And by faith, he heals you of the effects of sin and death and devil in your life. Just as the demoniac was clothed after Jesus had healed him, you were clothed with the righteousness of Christ in holy baptism. When you were washed with the water and the word, you were renewed in a new life. You were brought from death into new life in Jesus, being renewed in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit keeps you in the true faith through the preaching of the word. You receive Jesus' forgiveness in his body and blood in his Holy Supper. You see, all the people in the surrounding area of the Gerasenes rejected Jesus and sent him away. And sadly today, many people continue to reject Jesus. They continue to not have time for Jesus. They reject their Savior who died so that they may live. And when people ask Jesus to go away, just like in our text, he complies. He leaves and puts them back, leaves them in the same condition of the demoniac before he was healed. However, the good news is God does not abandon them. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, continues to call. Through the preached word of the gospel, the Holy Spirit continues to call people by the Word of God. Jesus told this demoniac to remain, the formerly demon-possessed man, told him to remain in his country and proclaim everything that Jesus had done for him. And that is Jesus' plea for you as well. He calls you to do likewise. You don't have to quit your job and go to the seminary. You don't have to sell your house and move to Africa and be a missionary. And you certainly don't have to beat your next-door neighbor over the head with your Bible. But Jesus wants you to bloom where you're planted. Whatever you are in your vocation, whatever your station in life, proclaim everything that Jesus has done for you. Among family and friends, neighbors and co-workers, let people know that you were previously possessed by a demon, but that demon was excised out of you in the waters of baptism. You renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways, and you were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now strengthens you to proclaim Christ, your Savior. Jesus came and broke your chains, and he has healed you with his innocent suffering and death. Paul tells us God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. You have God's assurance. He has sent the Holy Spirit to assure you that you are God's own child and you can gladly say it. You are redeemed by Christ Jesus. You are a full heir of eternal life. The Holy Spirit strengthen you as you share your gospel message of the kingdom of God founded on Christ Jesus, the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.